Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Hello everybody here from the New York Stock Exchange on Wall Street. Joining me now is Peter Tuckman. He's the legendary Einstein of Wall Street. I don't know why they call you Einstein.
I have no idea. I am not. I may look like him, but I'm not that smart.
I think you are very smart, Peter. You're almost 40 years here on the floor.
Yes, isn't that incredible? I got here, I was 4 years old, child prodigy trader.
So Peter, everybody is talking about these like Magnificent Seven. Most of them are not traded here of the New York Stock Exchange, they're traded on NASDAQ.
Right.
But anyways, stocks like Nvidia, Microsoft, Meta, Alphabet,
right.
What do you think about these like huge companies, corporates?
So look, I am, obviously everybody's fear is that irrespective of whether we trade them here or not, look, for me, I would love if they would all transfer over from NASDAQ to the NYSE, but that's not gonna happen right now. You know, historically, the tech stocks ended up migrating over to NASDAQ, and that's where they ended up. Now, as things are changing, and they realize the importance of market makers in the whole trading model, many of the tech stocks are gonna be listed here. All that being said, the Magnificent Seven, you know, it is clearly, look, we're in a new world here, right? You obviously, we had the internet, which turned out to be the internet bubble of 1995 and 2000. That was a different time. That was a different era. That was the creation of the internet and stuff like that. Over the last number of years, with the advent of AI, we've seen a massive surge in AI companies and in tech, right? And this, look, the market loves to group stocks of similar sectors and similar thought processes together to make basically a trading instrument where people may want, look, we know the whole concept of ETFs and stuff like that, where you group stocks together that give people exposure to a sector. Stocks tend to trade sector-wise in the same mode. And if tech is in and tech is hot, well, then you want exposure to all those names. Obviously, the Magnificent Seven has been one of the bigger fuels of on this fire that we've seen of the stock market. We're here in 2024, coming into the, like the end of the first half of the year, give or take a couple of weeks here and there. And one of the biggest fuels behind this rally we've seen is the Magnificent Seven: Microsoft, Meta, Google, Nvidia, obviously particularly. We've seen Nvidia go from February 2023 at $108 to $940 pre-earnings this past earnings season. The earnings came out, it went up to $1,200. They announced a 10-for-1 split, and we've seen double-digit growth even post a 10-for-1 split. So look, why is this happening? Is it a bubble? Basically are everyone's questions. And the bottom line is, look, the work that I do, as I said, I may look like Einstein. I'm not that smart, but I love to surround myself by really smart people. Dan Ives of Wedbush is, in my opinion, the number one tech analyst in the world. And he and I speak on a regular basis. We have a show called Einstein and Ives. And he's the tech guy. He's the tech guru. He's the guy who called Nvidia at $105. And so when I'm making reference to the tech sector, I love to defer to him in a big way. It is not the only reason that the market is up. Yes, the Magnificent Seven has played a major role in the rally we've seen over the last couple of years. AI is obviously the part that's embedded in the stock Nvidia that is the biggest growth factor in the whole tech sector. AI is definitely here to stay. His belief is it is not a bubble. This is not a 1999 moment when the internet bubble blew up. It is a 1995 moment when we were building something that was new, that was a revolution, a revelation, and that it was here to stay. Obviously, people's fears are that this is going to outsource human beings and all that other stuff. That was my fear as well. And after questioning Dan multiple times to try and find what's in the nooks and crannies of the AI story and in the tech story, it's going to be a way better advantage to us down the road. Yes, we're going to have to negotiate and be a little bit flexible on what jobs are people going to be available to people and the things that people are going to do to create their new careers. But at the end of the day, AI is a revolution. It is here to stay. It is not the only reason that the stock market is up. And it is something that is going to take us as a nation, as a world, to levels that we've never seen before. We're going to have robots in our houses within 2 years. This is not something that's happening in 2030. It's happening in 2025.
So I have so many more questions, so let's try to
make them shorter.
Make them shorter. Peter, so again, for about these Magnificent Seven. So there are seven companies, and they're almost responsible for 60-70% of the gains. Isn't that crazy when you have like 493 other companies in the S&P 500 that are responsible for only like 20-30%?
Correct. Okay. Yes, it is crazy, but it is all about AI. AI is what has been the flavor of the moment right now for more than a year. And I think that it's okay. Look, if the market was solely being held up by these Magnificent Seven, then that would be something worth being concerned about. But I mean, I don't know if those numbers are correct. Well, that's a bigger footprint than I thought it was. If it's 60-70%, if that is the contributing factor to 60-70% of the rally, well, then I think we need to examine. Look, 48% of the stocks in the S&P are trading at 52-week highs. So that means is that the footprint is bigger. The breadth of the rally is a lot bigger than just these seven stocks. But obviously, the biggest contributing factor is AI.
So we are almost trading on record highs. Yeah. The mood is good, I think. Yeah. So what do you feel here on the floor? What's the trader's opinion here?
So look, whenever a market is trading at record highs, you're always going to have the doomsayers. You're always going to have the bears in the market. Then the bears are going to come out from hiding and they're going to say, this is the top. This is a bubble. The market's due for a sell-off. We're going down 10%. You know, the world's coming to an end. You know, the media loves, and even the trading community loves to have this catastrophist demeanor about them. And at the end of the day, I'm a firm believer the market tells us what it thinks of the information. I believe this is the longest time we've gone without at least a 1% to 5% pullback. Right? Any little bit of a pullback, we just saw it in NVIDIA. After that, what I just described to you, which is one of the greatest trajectories of a stock in history in NVIDIA over the last year and a half, we are seeing that NVIDIA post-split sold off in 3 days. It went from 140 to 117, and the world suddenly was coming to an end. It was nothing more than a spectacular buying opportunity, and they immediately reversed it after 3 days, and they took the stock back up to record highs. So,
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. But does that mean that you're very like positive, optimistic for the rest of the year?
You know, look, I am not here to predict whether the market is going to go up or down. I think the best answer to that question is yes. But right now, the market is telling me, and it's telling me that the old terminology here at the stock exchange is that there's a bid in the market. What does that mean? A bid in the market means there are buyers. Right? Bidders are buyers, offers are sellers. And at the end of the day, whenever we see when a market is going up, everything's all fine and good. When a market is, you learn so much more about a market when it's going down. You learn about the characteristics that make up that rally that you just had. And at the end of the day, the rally seems strong. And every one of these little bits of sell-off have been rebuffed by a bullish rally.
So in the end of the year, we also have the U.S. election, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. Do you think this will change anything here, or are the markets don't care? They doesn't care?
Historically, markets do not pay a lot of attention about elections. And I don't know if this one is going to be different. It's very possible. This is one of the oddest matchups that we've ever seen. Obviously, I don't think Mr. Biden gets enough credit for the fact that under his watch for the last 4 years, the market is trading at record highs. It just didn't happen by accident. I believe that his policies and the way he's handled himself has contributed to that. How did the market handle under Donald Trump? Well, it was a little more volatile and it was a little more anxious, You know, markets don't like uncertainty. And there is a lot of uncertainty around Mr. Trump in every respect. His claim is he's going to come in, create a dictatorship, put, you know, cut interest, income tax, and put tariffs on China. That's going to be a shakeup that's going to cause nothing but anxiety, and markets don't like anxiety. So, you know, do I think if Joe Biden wins, is the market going to continue to go higher? I believe so. If the if Ronald McDonald wins the president, is the market going to sell off? I'm not clear about that, because a number of the things he promises to do basically favor the wealthy. And the wealthy are the people who are invested in the market. So if I'm a billionaire and I see Donald Trump win, because we are seeing a lot of the billionaires of the world are backing Donald Trump in a big way by their financial, by writing a check. And your question is, why would they do that? That is because a lot of his promises have to do with cutting taxes to the rich, and to basically they want a seat at the table. Everybody who's a billionaire, whether it's BlackRock or Citadel or any of these characters who basically wield a very heavy wand in the financial department, are want a seat at the table at Donald Trump's table, and so they are investing in him. So you know what? I mean, it's a long way to say I'm not sure what the answer is.
So yeah, it's the question if it's a nice dinner, or is it right. Maybe just like one course and you have to look for something else.
I don't know if it's a prefix or it's going to be a bigger menu.
Peter Tuckman, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, thank you so much. And guys,
my pleasure. It's great to be with you.
Thank you for watching.
And that's all I got to say about that. Boom!
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.